There was a minister that lives in Colorado. Well, he still does live in Colorado, and he was talking about how he moved out there, and his wife started a church. And they're Word and Spirit people. What I mean by that is they stick with the Word and they follow the Holy Ghost. And he was talking to me about how just within the area, like around the Denver, Colorado Springs, Boulder area, how there's a few churches that started, and within a few weeks they have 200-300 people just like that, you know. And it's like, wow, what in the world's going on? So he went there. He said, oh, I see why it's that. They don't talk about what to do with your money. They won't talk about sin and holiness. They don't talk about the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues and, you know, Bible stuff. And you know, it was the same way in Jesus' day. You know why we won't ever have the biggest church in Cattaraugus County? Because we're going to preach the Word. Amen. Jesus didn't have the biggest church in the Bible. Yeah. Say, but I thought multitudes followed him. They did until he opened his mouth and preached the Word. Yeah. Say, you got scripture on that? I sure do. John chapter 6, he preached the Word. And they didn't like it. It went against their traditions. It went against what they believed and what they liked. And the Bible says from that point on, many of his disciples left him. And he looked to the 12, so apparently there's only 12 left. We got Jesus beat tonight. Amen. He did. The Bible said he looked at the 12, and he said, are you going too? Now, see, here's my point, is that in the 2019 church culture that we have a lot of churches that we like to call seeker-sensitive. What's that mean? They want to say things to fill the seats. They knock it out of the park as far as their skill in their worship. Now, most of their worship songs are just about emotion and just feeling good. Don't really sing about worshiping him, and they're unscriptural. It's just the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And they got the smoke and the light show, and they got the programs. But the thing that's going to set people free, Jesus said, is not the music. It's not the programs. It's not the buildings. It's not the smoke and light show. He said the truth will set people free. But the other thing that you need to know about the truth is the truth will step on your toes. The truth will rub you the wrong way. And that's why people don't stick around, because they get sick and tired of actually being held to the fire of what's going to bless their life. You preach enough about tithing and people don't like to hear it and they leave. You preach enough about what to do with your children and how to raise your kids biblically. They don't want to hear that. Don't tell me what to do with my kids. You teach enough on the Holy Ghost. Well, that stuff's uncomfortable for me. And the ones that are hungry for God's Word will receive and be changed. Now you say, Pastor, how do you know? And then how do I know what's safe, what's not safe, what's right, what's not right? What's the Bible say? You'll never hear. It's kind of like when I told Jake, who I just told another story about you this week. I used Jake as an example because he was such an extreme case. We've all can say God's changed our lives. Jake was an extreme case. He came to me 6 years ago, addicted to things, sicknesses in his body that the doctor said would never be cured, messed up in his head, messed up in his body, messed up in his finances. And I pulled Jake aside and I said something to him. I've told you this before, but it goes along with what I'm saying here in this little preview. As I said to Jake, I said, a year from now, your life won't even look the same. If. And I said, now what I'm about to say is going to seem a little weird, but let me qualify the statement. I said, if you'll listen to every single thing I tell you to do, and if you'll do it, you won't even recognize your life. Now when you hear that, that sounds a little cultish. Yeah. Well, just follow the pastor. But I prefaced it to Jake, and he'll tell you the truth. I said, everything I tell you is going to come from this book. Amen. None of it's going to be what I think. None of it's going to be my opinions. We don't want opinions, philosophies, theories, or man's thoughts or ideas. But why I said that to him is because I knew there were things I were going to say to him that was going to rub him the wrong way. Why? When you're in the world, even when you're in the church world, if you're not in the church that's following the Holy Ghost and preaching the Bible, when the Bible's taught, it's, what in the world? Do that with my money? That's what I was supposed to do with my kids? That the Holy Ghost? All these things in the Bible. Because the flesh and the spirit, the Bible says, are not in cahoots together. They're at war. Galatians 5 tells us. Well, when your flesh and your thoughts, which need to be renewed to the Word, hear spirit things like they did in John chapter 6. Here was Jesus. He was perfection. What was coming out of his mouth was perfection. It was the Word of God, and they didn't want anything to do with it. That was Jesus. Why? Their flesh couldn't handle it. That's why when I was saying about the woman with the issue of blood, what am I supposed to stand up here and say? The Bible says to have a pastor, to be faithful. Am I supposed to say don't? The Bible says to do certain things with your money. Am I supposed to say, because it's hard to say it and it's hard to hear it, don't? The Bible says to do certain things with your children. The Bible says that the seed you sow, see, there's a lot of people that are going to walk into things, and their kids are going to walk into things because they're sowing the world into them. Well, we'll sow recreation, and we'll sow school, and we'll sow hobbies into them, but spiritual things, okay, well, that's fine, but the Bible says you'll reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. Everything and every action we do is a seed. Well, I don't feel like going to church. Okay, you don't have to. You just sowed a seed into your kid that you're not going to want to reap the harvest on. I'm just telling you the truth. I see it all the time. Brother Hagin said it this way. He said when he pastored for 12 years, he said, I could tell you exactly how every child in the church is going to grow up. And I know when you start talking about people's kids, they, oh, don't you talk about my kids. No, let's not get offended. Let's bring it to the Word. What the Word says. Train up a child in the way they should go. What's the way they should go? The Word of God. In a church, hearing the Word of God, being sown the Word, showing that, I mean, we make sure our kids, we wake them up, we got to get them in school every single day. That's important. And we got to make sure we get them to practice, and we got to make sure we get them to doctor's appointments. But when it comes to the house of God, okay, that's a seed. Just know that's a seed. And there will be a reaping. But what am I supposed to say? Am I not supposed to say that stuff? Because that's what the other pastors won't say, because why? The people out there that aren't spiritual don't want to hear it. And it causes the seats to be empty. But you know what? I don't give a rip that there's nobody here, nobody here, nobody here. We got some there. We got nobody here. Don't care. Don't care. Why? Jesus didn't look at the 12 and say, please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. What are they going to say around town? My ministry's dramatically gotten smaller. No, he preached the truth. And the ones that will come and see that this guy up here is not crazy, a little crazy right now. That's not crazy, but it's the Bible. Because what I said to Jake is crazy. Listen to everything I say. He doesn't know me from anybody, but what I say is going to be in there. And you take everything I say and you bring it back to this book. And if it's in that book, you do it. Just do it. That's what Mary told those people at that wedding to the servant. She said, whatever Jesus says, you do it. Why? Because she knew what was going to come out of his mouth was going to rub them the wrong way. I'm just telling you. You want the best thing for your kids? You want the best thing for your life? It's putting them, I'm not saying family church, putting them in a Bible-teaching church under the Word and Spirit, and making that, school's not more important than that. Recreation is not more important than that. I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to save you in the future of the seeds you do not want to reap. Anyways, well, that was a long review. We didn't even talk about what we're talking about yet. Well, anyways, let's go to, open your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. See, when the bold preaching the Word goes out, people think that's extreme. And you know who the most radical extreme preacher on planet Earth ever was? Jesus. He stood up to people and said, hey, just want you to know, I'm the only way you can get to heaven. He said that. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am life. You know what that is? That's radical. That's extreme. You know what people would say about that? Oh, that's so close-minded. Yep, it is. Jesus stood up and said, "The Buddha's not the way, Muhammad's not the way, the sun's not the way, the moon's not the way, I'm it!" And he was telling the truth. But you know what that sounds like to the flesh? Ooh, I don't like the sounds of that. I remember there was a popular preacher on TV one time, I won't say who it was, I'm not trying to belittle anybody, and they asked him, "Are you saying that Jesus is the only way to heaven?" I thought, here we go. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. But you know, when you got a congregation full of thousands of people and you got a world watching you. And I'm not belittling that preacher, because I can't imagine the pressure. But all you got to do is hide behind the Bible. And you know what the answer was? Well, you know, I'm not really the judge of mankind, and God's the judge. God already told us his judgment. There's one way. One way. And that sounds so radical and extreme, but God's a radical, extreme God, and he expects you to do his word. Amen. He expects you. He told Abraham, get up on that mountain and sacrifice your son. That's radical. That's extreme. That's what he did. Hallelujah. So you have to make a decision in your own life. Do I want God's way, or do I want to play church? Because if you're going to come here, you're not going to want to be here very long, because we don't play church here. I take seriously, Lord, what do people need to hear? I will pray and find out. I will not sit around and eat Cheetos all week and just flip through sermons.com and flip through the Bible and do the any mini thing and say, you know what, that sounds good, I'll do that. No, I take it seriously. Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? And I pray and I hear from heaven. And then I have the audacity to come out here and say what he wants me to say, which isn't easy all the time. You know why? Because I love people. Whether you do the word or don't do the word doesn't affect me. And you think, well, I'm already proven to you, I don't care about, give a rip about attendance. Yeah. I started a church in South Dayton, New York, 600 people. You think I give a rip about huge crowds? Yeah. Right. This is how I preach to 10 million. This is how I preach to 10. Yeah. It's the truth. Praise God. So we're just going to stick with it. The people that are hungry for God's word, and then we'll say, you know what, this sounds really, really bold and really kind of different, and it's really rubbing me the wrong way, but I see it. I see it in the word. I'm sorry, but God's not going to change this for you. Well, part of that doctrine is kind of hard and difficult for me. He ain't changing. He's not going to change for you. Amen. Well, let's just go on here. This is our last, if you got the slick text tonight, you know this is our last service on the series we're in. I don't have time to do a ton of review, but this is part 5. We have all the archives online, and we're talking about biblical prosperity. Now, before you turn me off, I don't care if you say, well, I make good money. I'm comfortable. I drive a nice car, have a nice home. We saw last week, we'll look at it again tonight. Unfaithfulness with your money will not just affect your money. Yeah. Let me say that again, because people think, well, I'm already blessed. Who cares what the Bible says to do about my money? No, no, no. When God says to do something in the Word and you don't do it, it affects every area of your life. Say, what do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, what does the Bible say? The wages of sin is what? Death. Yeah. Yeah. People sow seeds, and the wrong seeds, they walk into things. What were they doing? Sowing the wrong seeds and the wages. Now, thank God for his mercy. And we can all start and go right, the right way today. Praise God. We see that in the Word. Jesus, someone's doing it wrong. He just said, stop, go the right way. Stop, go the right way. But the wages of sin, well, what is sin? See, we think of sin as adultery. We think of sin as stealing and murdering. You know what sin is? All sin is disobedience to God. That's all that sin is. Any disobedience to the Word, which is God, that's God's Word, any disobedience to the Word is sin. Any sin leads to death. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean flatline death. Death in your finances, death in your peace, death in your favor, death in the blessings that are supposed to come to you. You know, just death and destruction. The Bible says they that sow to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Corruption's not always flat line of death. That's why we got to make a decision. What do we want in 2019? Do we want to do the Word? Do we want to set our families up? Do we want to make sure we're going God's way? Because if you think, and this is what the religion will jam down your throat, I'm a good person, and I cry when the worship music comes on, and I'm sweet to people. Listen, there are sweet people in hell right now. There are kind people in hell right now. You know why they're in hell? Because they didn't do the Word. Oh, don't talk about hell. Why? Jesus did. There are sweet, wonderful, generous, kind people in eternal damnation. Simply because they did not do the Word, which was what? Go through Jesus. He that believes on me will not perish. That way you could say it this way. He that doesn't believe on me will perish. Well, if you think for a minute, I can just do whatever I want. I don't know why I'm saying all this. I did not plan to come out here and say all this. This is not what a preacher just says. I'm going to go out and just rebuke and exhort and admonish this way. No. It's more fun to preach faith and shout at the circumstances, but somebody, I'm just going to say it this way because I know this to be in my heart, somebody is not going to be happy with the seeds that they're sowing. And you know how many times I have to clean up the mess that people didn't listen and keep sowing the wrong seeds? You know what this is? This is a warning shot across the bow of the ship. Go God's way. Go God's way. Do it God's way. I'm just telling you the truth. And people all the time, they think Well, I'm a good person and the Lord loves me, and he does. But when you walk into sin, you step out from underneath his covering. He said in Psalm 91, they that dwell in the secret place of the shadow of the Most High will abide under the shadow, will have all these blessings. Well, a step into sin is a step out of God's covering. Remember what Jesus told the man that got healed over there? I can't remember what book it was in John, but he said, go and sin no more. Unless a worse thing comes on you. So he said, a worse thing will come on you if you don't stop it and knock it off. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. So we're talking about biblical prosperity. And I don't have time to review now because I just took up all my review time. So I will talk to you about what we talked about 2 weeks ago and bring us into Malachi, because we talked about, just real quick, we talked about God's take on prosperity. We saw that Jesus died to make us rich. And we saw that God has a view on money that we don't. He says money's a sign of your heart. Money's a sign of your honor. Money's a sign of your sincerity. He said, if you can't be faithful with money, I can't trust the true riches with you. That's what he said. Oh, I can just do whatever I want with money. I know you're up there spouting that tithe, but I ain't bringing my tithe. Go ahead. Keep disobeying God. That's fine. Every action is a seed sown, and every seed sown is a harvest waiting to be reaped. A harvest of corruption or a harvest of life everlasting. Your choice. In Deuteronomy, he says for the curses and blessings of the law, he gives all the blessings of the law, then he gives all the cursings. He says, this day I've set before you blessing and life. Blessing and life. Death and life. Death and life, cursing and blessings. He said, choose life.
Amen.
Choose life, glory to God. Hallelujah. So we saw in Malachi chapter 3, let's go to verse 8. Well, anyways, we got to prosperity. And in talking about prosperity, we mentioned last week that the number one way that God's going to get biblical prosperity to you. Now, what's biblical prosperity? Biblical prosperity is having your finances under kingdom authority. What's that mean? You're not subject to the stock market. You're not subject to the winds and change. And listen, Pastor Mike can quit a job and start a church with no salary for 2 years and pay off $60,000 worth of debt, never miss a payment. Why? My finances have long been under kingdom authority. My job's not my supply.
Yeah.
Amen. And those of you that have your faith in your social security, in your child support, in your job, you have it in the wrong source, because those things are subject to change, but he isn't. He is a God of prosperity 24/7. And I always say, you know how you know God? What if every means of income you have right now, this second, were to be stopped, turned off, and there was no hope of it coming back on? What would your reaction be? If your reaction is anything but joy and faith and peace, you don't know God enough. But see why? Because when those things get cut off, that's showing where your faith is in. Yeah. I'm just telling you, he told me, quit my job. I'll tell you what, I thought, I was nervous at first. Why? Because that was I found out my faith was more in that source than it was him. So, I got in the Word and got into faith. I realized, who gives a rip about a job? Who gives a rip that I'm $2,000 short every month? God, you're bigger than that.
Amen.
You know, the woman that looked at me and was singing her sad song because she had hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of school loan debt, and she thought I was going to sing the sad song with her, and she told me her amount. She said, yeah, but it's this amount. I said, what's your point? What's your point? Is God up there? Oh, my gosh, I can't handle that. No. Her faith is more in that amount than it was God. Amen. It's the truth, praise God. And so biblical prosperity is getting what God says you can have in the supernatural. And it's what it is, it's having a supernatural touch on your finances. Some people better really hope their job doesn't change. You better really hope you don't get an injury. Because you need that money. Why? That's where your faith is. I'm just telling you. Praise God. You talk about people's money and kids, and it gets quiet in church. Pastor Mike, what are you doing? Just preaching from the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Just sharing what... You know, I had to sit around and watch a preacher preach for 4 days.
Come on.
Pastor Webb was in town. I had to sit around and watch that. That's hard for a preacher to do. Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. I guess it's 3 nights, right? And then Wednesday, 4 nights. 4 nights, I just had to sit there and be quiet. So you get it tonight. You get it today. Praise God. See, some of these people know something about supernatural touch in their finances. That's why they get excited about this stuff. Yeah, but some of y'all Christians, y'all better hope your job doesn't change. You better hope that thing doesn't change. You better hope you don't get an injury, because that's where your faith is. And when that thing's dried up and stops up, because things change in the world in 2019.
That's right.
You see, sowing the seeds of disobedience now is going to reap corruption in the future.
Right. Yeah.
I'll tell you a story here in a little bit about what I'm talking about, if I could remember it. You know, don't let me forget. I've told the story before about the blue card incident. Most of you heard it, but let me remind you about the blue card incident. Even if I'm getting ready to pray, somebody shout out, blue card incident. Malachi 3 and verse 8 says, will a man rob God? That is the dumbest question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will a man rob God? That is the dumbest question. Well, let me ask you, who do you want to bless your children?
Yeah.
Who do you want to protect your kids?
Yeah.
Who do you want to watch over your body? Who do you want to open doors you can't open? Who do you want to bring you into things that you can't get into yourself?
Yeah.
Who do you want to be the caretaker and the keeper of your life? God!
Yeah. Amen.
So the stupidest question in the world is, why will a man rob God? Well, the answer to me is, why would you rob God?
Amen.
Why would you rob the very one you need more than anything?
Yeah.
But then the Bible goes on to say, but you yet you have robbed me.
Yeah.
Because their thought, Israel's thought is, we won't rob him. And God says, yeah, you have.
Yeah.
You have robbed me.
Yeah.
Now, this is where, if you don't have your mind renewed to the Word of God, and you just want to think your own way, and your own feelings, your own thoughts, and your own little religious way, you won't get this. But if you say, well, the Word's the Word of God, that's God's will, I'm to renew my mind to the Word, then you'll understand some things. He says, you have robbed me. And they say, like, what everybody would say, what? What do you mean? Where?
Yeah.
Robbed you? Well, we don't want to rob you. We worship you. He says, I'll tell you where you robbed me. In tithes and offerings. Wow. Now again, is this Pastor Mike's doctrine or is this the Bible? Tithes and offerings, you've robbed God. A robber. A robber, a thief. You know what a robber is? It's a thief. You wouldn't tolerate someone coming into your house and just taking, cleaning out your closets and cleaning out your drawers and looking through, going, trying to find money and taking your kid's piggy bank and walking out. You'd say, that person's wrong.
Yeah.
That person's a thief.
Yeah.
They deserve punishment.
Yeah.
And your Bible, the same Bible that tells you that by accepting Jesus, you won't perish. And you like that verse. You like that verse. And the same Bible that tells you that faith will move mountains, you like that verse because you have mountains at times. Same Bible says that you might not know you're doing it. But ladies and gentlemen, ignorance is what the devil preys upon. Because Jesus said if you have knowledge of the truth, you'll be set free. He didn't say because there's truth. So he said there can be truth, but ignorance to the truth will leave you in bondage. But when you have knowledge of the truth, you'll be set free. That's why he said in Hosea 4, my people are destroyed. Why? They don't know. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
You might not know that you're robbing God, but it doesn't, and you might not think that you're robbing God, but it doesn't matter what you know and what you think or what you feel.
Right.
This is why society, I got on that soapbox 2 weeks ago, what happens to society in 2019? People shout from the rooftops what they feel, what they think, what they like, and what they want, and how they think it should be, and they try to make the Word conform to it. God doesn't change.
Amen.
He hasn't changed in 2019 to become more liberal, to become less holy. He's the same God. And you might not think you're robbing God, and you might not feel like you're robbing God, and you might say till you're blue in the face, I wouldn't rob God, but He says, if you withhold your tithes and your offerings, you are a thief. I don't know if I've ever said it like that. You say, why, Pastor Mike, are you being so bold about this? Well, because look at verse 9 says, you are cursed with a curse. Who? The robbers. You have robbed me. Even this whole nation.
Yeah.
So he says, I'm going to get you out of the thief category into the blessing category. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. What's the storehouse? He tells you in the next part of the verse, that there may be meat in my house. Amen. So he says, you want to get out of the robbing category? Stop withholding your tithes and start bringing your tithes. Where? To the storehouse. Amen. Wherever your local church is, wherever you call home, wherever who's your pastor, that's the church you bring your tithes to. Now why? He says that there's meat in my house. Saying, I need provision in my house. I need provision in my house. Why? I mean, we don't think it's strange when we're at the, well, you go to Applebee's and they bring you a bill after and you think, what in the world is this?
Come on.
What in the world are you doing? No, why? We understand. For Applebee's to keep going, you know, you get up to Walmart with your grocery cart and you're trying to walk out the door and say, yeah, you got to pay for that. What do you mean? Pay for this? Well, why do you got to pay for it? There's no Walmart if you don't pay for it.
Yeah.
There's no Applebee's if you don't pay your bill.
There's
no body of Christ doing the work and the plan of God on planet Earth through local churches who support ministries and ministers who preach the word week in and week out to people and their lives are changed. If the lights can't stay on, if the buildings can't get paid for, if the heat can't get paid for, and people just think, ah, God doesn't need my money. You're right. Where he's sitting on his can up in heaven, he doesn't need it. But his plan down here needs it. And he says the tithe brings provision into the storehouse. And he says those that withhold it are cursed with a curse. And he goes on to say, he says, prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. What's he saying? I dare you to actually tithe. He said, if I will not open you. No, notice this. Open. You know how you got through that door out there? I'm going to guess if I go down there and look, there's no hole in that door with your body outline. You know, when I was a little boy, I had Perthes disease of the hips. I got out of bed when I was little, about kindergarten, maybe a little bit before, stood on the ground and fell right on the floor. Well, they didn't know what the heck was wrong with me. Well, my hip was deteriorating. So they stuck me in a hospital, you know, trying to figure it out up in Buffalo, you know. They hooked me to a machine that 24 hours a day, it would slowly drag me down the bottom of the bed and I'd have to push myself up. It was ever so, you know, it wasn't like zipping me down, you know, but just slowly pulled me down to try to work to strengthen my hip. Well, I got braces on my legs, you know, I was Forrest Gump all the way. I mean, I looked like Forrest Gump. I did. But I was in the hospital, you know, and I remember there was an Amish boy next to me, and when they brought me my He-Man figures, oh, did the Amish boy have a, I mean, you thought he'd have a conniption. He never seen anything like Skeletor. Castle Grayskull, I had the castle. But my point was they brought me in the hospital a little Flash toy. You know Flash, the Marvel comic Flash. And on the packaging, must be they weren't too stringent on being truthful in their packaging back in those days. It said that if you wind him up, he'll run right through a wall. Well, when you're a little boy and you hear that, you're like, let's get this going. Why? But I couldn't get out of bed, and my dad said, no, he knew it wasn't going to happen. He's just delaying things. He said, you can't put a hole in the hospital wall. You're going to have to wait till you get home. Well, to Pastor Mike's sad surprise, it didn't work. And so I'm going to guess, you know, that you didn't get all geared up and wound up and go running through a wall, and there we have your body outlined. There you went. Right through. Now, you know how you got through the door? It was opened. And God is saying, I want to open you the windows of heaven. Why? Well, this is why I want to open you the heaven. Because I want to pour out a blessing. From where? Heaven.
Amen.
Go to the next part of that verse. Thank you. That there will not be room enough to receive it. So God's in heaven saying, my child, my desire is to dump onto you abundance that you have not enough room to receive it.
Amen.
He says, but to get that blessing from here to there, something's got to get opened. Go back to the previous part of that verse, Brandy, if you would, please. He says, I want to open the windows of heaven. The first thing we learned last week, the first step to biblical prosperity. What's biblical prosperity? Listen, I don't care that you have a lot of money. I don't care that you have a nice home and drive a nice car. You say, I'm not tithered. I have all these things. You don't understand the fallout that's to come for not doing the word. That's what you're not getting. I don't need to tithe a heifer. No, you're not getting it. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord, doing it God's way, makes you rich and adds no sorrow. You can have the stuff and you can have the cars and you can have the money in the house, but there will eventually be sorrow attached with it. God is not a liar. I'm trying to spare you from the sorrow. And for those people that have the thought in their head, and I say it almost every time I preach on money, you're just trying to get me to give more money. No, trying to get you to obey the word. I don't give a rip about your money. I started South Dayton with me, Courtney, and Caleb in her belly. No money, no salary. I don't give a rip. I give a rip about obeying God. I don't care. It's up to you what you do. Praise God. In fact, I'll say it this way. Oh, and this is going to shock some people when I say this. If this church fails to meet its bills and pay its bills and has to sell this building and step down, matter to me.
Yeah.
It's not my job. About my job to keep this thing going. It's my job to show up and preach the word. If people don't do the word and they lose a Bible teaching church, I'm not saying right anywhere near that. We're super blessed, but I'm just saying, shut it down. They brought Brother Hagin all these bills and when he was building the Rhema campus and stuff, and they came to him and they said, and I adopted this from him. And got this into my heart for myself. Because when you're a pastor, there's a lot of fluctuation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of roller coasters. Yeah. And they said, Brother Hagin, we need this amount of money to finish this project, and the banks are saying they're not going to give it to us. And they're giving them. And Brother Hagin said, stop talking to me about this. For all I care, shut the whole thing down. It wasn't my idea to do this anyways. And me coming to Allegheny and Olean was not my idea. People don't want to do the word. Okay, go put me somewhere else, Father.
Amen.
You think I'm kidding?
No.
If there's not provision in the house of God, the house of God will not go forward.
Yeah.
And God calls people to the house of God to be a provision, but he has something in it for them. What? Open the windows of heaven. But the only way those windows of heaven get opened up, which have the supernatural, no sorrow attached to it, because I know what people get in their head. They say, I'm not a tither. I drive a nice vehicle. I have a nice house. That's okay. That's okay, but the Bible says sorrow's coming. Sorrow's coming. Jesus said if you don't do the word, there's a crash coming. That's what Jesus said, not Pastor Mike.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Who else is going to tell you this stuff?
Amen.
Not the preacher that wants to fill the seats,
yeah,
but the one that actually cares enough about the sheep to tell them the word.
Amen.
That's just the truth. So we saw that. And he goes on to say, and verse 11, now you say, Pastor Mike, you said something earlier that by not obeying you financially, obeying the word financially, that it'll affect all areas of our life. Well, let's see why. Verse 11, he says, and I will rebuke the devourer. You know who the devourer is?
Yeah.
The one that's been doing it for thousands of years and is excellent at stealing, killing, and destroying. The Satan and all his cohorts are out running the show in the world. And he said, the tithe. Oh, the tithe's not important. The tithe has the power to rebuke the devourer.
Come on.
I don't know what else to say. He said that he'll not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field. The power of the tithe. The power of the tithe. Verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you be the lights of the land. You don't understand that it affects your children, that affects the health in your body, that it affects the favor, that it affects the peace in your life. Well, I already have all the nice stuff. I don't need to tithe. That we're not tithing to get nice stuff. We're tithing to be obedient and to supply to the kingdom, and just so happens he takes care of us like we can't even imagine. It's a pretty good deal. Praise God. Well, go back to verse 8. There is so much utterance on this message of correction and help for people. And I don't know why. I did not plan to say any of this stuff. But what the Lord's trying to do is get people to stop the seed sowing that you're sowing, because God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, whether it be sin that leads to corruption, the Bible says, or the spirit that leads to life everlasting, you will reap it. And if you keep going outside of the boundaries of the Word of God, and that's how you live your life, and that's what you keep putting into your kids, God is going to sit there and watch you walk into a harvest that you don't want. He watched Jonah. Jonah stepped outside the will of God, and what happened? Chaos happened. Lot stepped outside the will of God, and what happened? Chaos happened. Judas stepped outside the will of God, and chaos happened. He's trying to help people tonight.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Don't be that person. I had a young girl. This was a few months ago back in Tops in Falconer, New York. I didn't recognize her. I hadn't seen her in so many years. And years ago, I had sat down with her when I was the associate pastor at Pastor Tim's church in Jamestown. And I was ministering to her and her family. And she's about to go down a road that biblically wasn't even sound, wasn't right. And in my heart, the red flags were like crazy. So I told her. I said, my job's not to meddle into people's lives or make them do it. I'm not Lord of their life. You do what you want to do. But I also know that Timothy was told by Paul, you need to warn people. You need to rebuke them. You need to correct them. And so I told her, I said, I'll just use her name. She doesn't go to these churches. I said, Betsy, I said, don't do this. I said, this is what the Bible says. It's against the word of God. I said, and when you disobey the word, Jesus said, there's a crash coming. The Bible says if you don't obey the word, that it leads to corruption and destruction. Don't do this. Pastor Mike, I'm doing it. I said, okay, well, I love you. I love you through it. I ran into her. She disappeared. Ran into her a few months back. And she said, Pastor Mike. I looked at her. She had a different haircut. I said, Betsy? And tears started streaming down her face. You know what she said to me? She said, should have listened to you. She said, everything that you told me would happen, happened to me. And my heart just broke. I wasn't like, told you so. No, my heart broke. Well, what was I trying to do? Stop sowing the seeds you're sowing. God's not a liar. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, will a man rob God? You have robbed me. Where, Lord? Tithes and offerings. Notice it says and offerings. The tithe and the offering are not the same thing. They're different things. And people get this mixed up. But he says, you're robbing me in tithes and offerings. Those are two different things. Do you see that there? Well, what did we look at the 2 weeks ago we were here? The tithe is what? It's a tenth part. That's what tithe means. Bring all the tithes. What's a tithe? A tenth part of what your increase is. Amen. I had somebody come up to me. They got married and they were getting ready to go on their honeymoon. And they said, are we supposed to tithe on the money that we were given for getting married? Yes, that's increase. You tithe on that. 10% is God's. And we saw that the Bible says it belongs to the Lord. That's why you're robbing him. It belongs to him. My kids, Pastor Webb the other night gave each of my kids a $20 bill. And you know what he said to him as he was walking away from him? He said, don't forget to tithe on that.
Amen.
Well, that's not a problem in my home because my kids know the first 10% goes to God and the next 10% goes to God as well in anything they get. But you watch, my kids will be blessed all the days of their life.
Amen.
With no sorrow. I said, yeah, we know, Pastor Webb. We're going to tithe on that. Why, that's God's. Heck yeah, we're going to tithe on that. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it says tithes and offerings. A tenth part, yes. That's why people that make a lot of money in tithe, they think they're generous. You're not generous, you're just obedient. If your income is $1 million a year and you tithe $100,000, you're just as obedient as somebody whose income was $100 a year and tithe $10. It's the same tenth part, a percentage, tenth part. Well, he says tithes and offerings. He says you're robbing God when you don't do tithes and offerings. What's offerings? Anything above the tithe. That's why I tell you, my kids get a 20. They're not just giving the 10% of that, which would be what, $2? No, we're not going to just give $2. Why? There's an offering that needs to go with it. Say, that's how you live? Yep, been living supernatural for years that way, and I can tell you story after story after story.
Amen.
Praise God. You can be rich the world's way, which will be sorrow, or you could be rich God's way, which will bring supernatural peace and blessing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I want to talk about offerings today in the short time we have left. I won't take up a lot of time. We're just going to go down through this. Because I'm just going to show you, Caleb one time was on the four-wheeler, and it was stuck between reverse and forward, and sometimes you got to really think, when it gets stuck like that, you got to move it, rock it back and forth to get it in gear. I told him, don't you just slam that thing in the gear, you'll break the thing, Well, when I just had to tell him what to do, it didn't take long just to tell him what was right and what was wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you what's right and what's wrong about the offering. Now it's going to have to take long.
Amen.
Amen. But what are offerings? Anything above the tithe. Anything above the tithe, praise God. Yeah, the thought is, well, I came here because I needed help in my healing. I needed help with my kids. I needed help. I'm giving it to you. Start obeying the word with your money and watch how it affects everything. Yeah. Why? Because the Lord said it would. He said, the devourer will all of a sudden get rebuked. He said, you'll be a delightsome land. That's all areas of your life. See, when he said, if you're not faithful with your money, I can't trust you with true riches, he's telling you it affects every area of your life. Because it's not dollars and cents to him. It's honor. It's your heart. We looked at that in one of these messages. What you do with money is so important to him as he's watching. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So what's the offering? The offering is anything above the 10%. Now, where do I give the offering? Because the Bible tells you that the tithe goes to the storehouse. You don't send your tithe to the traveling minister. You don't send your tithe to the TV preacher. You bring, that's why he said, bring the tithe to the storehouse, the local church. Why? So there's meat in my house. So go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. The tithe automatically goes to the storehouse, but where does the offering go? Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. You say, well, then I want a purpose in my heart to give 3%. You're missing the point. Yeah. The tithe is not giving. You'll never be a consistent, faithful tither with that mentality. He said, the tithe belongs to me and is holy unto me. Remember we looked at that verse 2 weeks ago? He said, the tithe belongs to the Lord. That's why you're robbing him. He said, it's holy unto me. It's holy unto the Lord. We're bringing him what's already his. Amen. So when you say, well, he says the purpose of my heart, well, I only purpose 2%. He's not talking about the 10%. He already established the 10% is his. He's saying above the 10%, you give as you purpose in your heart. What's that mean? To wherever you want a purpose in your heart. Unless the Holy Ghost tells you where to put it. And if the Holy Ghost tells you where to put it, that's as good as God speaking to you. Yeah. Amen? And we'll go over that in a little bit. But the tithe is not, or the offering is not specifically noted to bring to the church. Now, I'll go over where you bring, where you should bring your offering, because that's important where you bring your offering. And the church is included. Yeah. You'll see that in the Word. Don't let me just say that and make you believe that. But the tithe goes to the storehouse. The offering goes to where you purpose in your heart. What's on your heart? That's where your offering goes. Amen? Amen. Now, this is where this is going to help you. And I brought a little thingamabobber. I don't know what it would be called. An example, an illustration, something to help you here tonight that will bless you. And what is it called? Example? Prop. I like the word prop. That's a good word, prop. Here's how you have to understand the offering. This will change your life concerning the offering. To get the most out of the potential that offerings have, and offerings have a potential to bring you things that you can't get yourself. Yeah. But to get the potential of offerings, you have to look at money as seed. Yeah. And I'll show you the Bible. To get the most out of offerings, again, you're 10%. I don't care. Well, I got $1,000 and I brought 100. Don't pat yourself on the back. You were obedient. Yeah. But that's not generosity. Yeah. That's faithfulness. Yeah. Amen? Well, I made $100 million and I brought, what would that be, 10 million? Yeah. I brought 10 million. I'm so generous. No, you're obedient and you're faithful. And we appreciate your faithfulness because it really helps the church. But don't be patting yourself on the back. Someone gives me a dime and I give a penny, I'm just as faithful. Yeah. Just as faithful in the tithe. Yeah. The offering above the tithe, to look at the offering, you need to look at it as seed. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Now in chapter 8 and chapter 9, he's talking about money, an offering. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth, what do you sow? You sow seed. Bountifully, reap bountifully. He's not talking to a bunch of farmers and saying before sowing time, because we know we're going to get into harvest here in the fall, make sure you're sowing a lot. No, he's talking about an offering to be taken up, and he likens the money that's being sown into that offering to seed. Amen? He likens money to seed. Praise God. Verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. So, Pastor Mike Anderson here in the silliness of his life, I brought some corn seed. And I brought some corn. Why? Corn seed turns into corn. Where are you? I brought a bunch of pieces, but let's just pull out one here. So, now here's what you're going to have to bear with me on. I brought popcorn kernels. This will turn into a certain kind of corn, but not this kind of corn. So one of these two we have to pretend is not the real thing. Because this seed does not look like a corn kernel, even though this would, popcorn kernel, even though this would turn into corn, but it wouldn't be this kind of sweet corn. So we're going to pretend that I have sweet corn seeds because it all works the same anyways. But my point is, he said it's like seeds. Now, this is what I want to talk to you about the offering. So we know that this little thing turns into this. It's crazy, but we know it works, right? We know it works. Farmers, you know, they go all, I mean, thousands of acres of land are throwing these little things into the ground, and they're turning into loads and loads of this. Amen. In fact, one of these, I've heard different things and reading on it, turns into a plant that can have 2 to 4 of these. Some I've heard 1 to 2. Well, let's just go 1 to 2 to be conservative. But this can turn into 1 to 2 of these things. Way more than this. Okay? So we're going to look at the Bible through this example because he likened money to seed. So we can see principles in seed that we can put towards our money. Are you with me? I don't know if I'm with me. Anyways, here we go. Are you ready to go to look at offerings to get you blessed? Go to Genesis 8:22. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. Praise the Lord. My favorite is the preachers that say, just give what you want. That's not what the word says. The word does not say just give what you want. That's dangerous, and the devil loves to hear preachers say that. But you know why they say it? Because then it doesn't step on the toes of the people. I don't care if I step on your toes. It doesn't matter to me, because me stepping on your toes is going to hurt a lot less than what's coming for you. Yeah. I'm just telling you. Genesis 8:22. Glory to God. Where are you, Genesis 8? Keeps eluding me. Genesis 8:22. Look at this. While the earth remains. While the earth remains, that means no matter how long the earth's here, there's a principle. What's that principle? Seed time and harvest is one of them. Cold and heat's another one. Summer and winter. Sorry, Western New York, can't get rid of it. As long as the earth remains, we're going to have winter. And day and night. You know what we know? It's getting darker out there, but we know in the morning the sun's going to come up. It's going to be like that until the earth is no more. Thank God in heaven there won't be the winter and the nastiness, and there won't be darkness, and you won't have to seed. There won't be no seed time and harvest in heaven. That's an earth thing. But what did he say? As long as the earth is here, there's a principle, seed time and harvest. What's that mean? This is the harvest. But you can't get to here without here. Okay? What did this turn into? Multiplication and more. But you can't get to this without the seed time. Okay? Remember, why are we doing this? Because we're liking it to our money. And you need to start seeing it like your money, because Paul likened it to seed, your money to seed. That's number one. To get a harvest, you got to go through seed time. Yeah. What's seed time? Sowing. Yeah. Got to sow to get to a harvest. Amen? Amen? Now, the second thing I want you to see with offerings, and we're talking about this with this example. Where do we sow? Well, Pastor Mike told you what the Bible said, that as you purpose in your heart. But remember, it's seed. So you can purpose in your heart to sow this seed on this ground, but it ain't going to get you this in the end. I'm going to leave it there because I got extra, and if I bend over, I might rip something. And I'm not talking about a muscle. I'm going to start doing some keto. Something's got to change. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. It's a bad time of year because it's kettle corn time. Oh, I have got a weakness for kettle corn. But it, something happens when kettle corn season starts to happen. I start bending over a lot less when I'm preaching and moving around. Gotta have some dangerous things up here. Where do you sow? As you purpose in your heart. But it's got to fall on good ground. Right? That's ground. The parking lot's ground. The road is ground. The sidewalk's ground. But it's not good ground. Well, does the Bible tell us where good ground is? It does. I'll tell you in a second what it is. But let me tell you about somebody sowing. First of all, I read that blue card. Remember the blue card story?
Yeah.
Read a blue card in the office, the old office that I had at the church before we got in the new building at South Dayton. Woman saying she's struggling financially. Well, I didn't know if she was tithing or not tithing. And the Holy Ghost said to me, with the, not the audible voice, but the authoritative voice of the Holy Ghost, I heard it in my spirit, said, she stopped at the tithe. She tithes, but she stops to the penny at the tithe. She doesn't go into offerings. Well, I called her up and said, I just read your blue card. This was, those were the connection cards we had before we have what we have now. They were blue cards. And I said, hey, this is interesting. The Holy Ghost, I just read your card. Yeah, I'm struggling. I said, but God told me what your problem is. And I don't know, because I don't look at her, what she gives. And even if I did look at what she gives, I don't know her income. So I don't know if she's stopping at the tithe, even getting to the tithe or going past the tithe. I said, the Holy Ghost just said to me, you're a tither, but not a giver. You don't go above the tithe. She said, you're right, I stopped to the penny. And I said, that's what the Holy Ghost said. You stopped to the penny on the tithe. I said, that's your problem. You don't, you're struggling financially because you're in a place now because the tithe does certain things and the offering does certain things. And you need a harvest right now. The tithe isn't harvest-minded. The offering is harvest-minded. Why do farmers plant months ago? Because when harvest time comes, they want to have some things. And so now she's in a position, I need some harvest for some things, but there was no seed.
Yeah.
I want my harvest, but you didn't go through seed time.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, this person started sowing seed, and they wrote it on their thing. They wrote it again on their thing. And you know what the Holy Ghost told me this time? I never told this part of the story. Oh, they're giving above the tithe now, but it's going into bad ground. So I called them up and said, what's going on? I see you still struggling. Well, I did what you said. I said, did you now? I guess the Bible doesn't work for you. Where are you sowing that seed? She told me a ministry. I said, oh, that's an interesting place to sow your seed. I said, you do realize that that ministry teaches that God is okay with people being sick. They do? You do realize that that ministry says that speaking in tongues is not for today. And publicly broadcasts that to the world. They do? You do realize that when tragedy strikes, that ministry says that God is responsible and he's the killer. They don't realize they're saying it, but when they say that God has a purpose for an Amish schoolhouse to be shot up by some crazy person and that God was pulling the strings and that ministry says that and you're sowing into that, you might as well throw the seed on the carpet.
Yeah.
And then she told me the other one they're sowing into, an organization. I said, you do realize that organization publicly and monetarily supports abortion. They do? Does a farmer just randomly go out to any plot of ground and just... No. The farmer knows the land, tests the land. Is it fertile? Does it produce? Christians, well, they're going to start sowing into this. You're not realizing that your money is seed. And if you want it to produce, you might want to know what you're sowing into. For the longest time, some money was being taken out of my paycheck because at the after-school program that I supported or worked for, the boss of the whole thing, because this was a big funder in our after-school program, she was requiring people to give a portion of their paycheck to this place. It was strongly encouraged, I should say. You know, one of those things. You know, like kind of like football teams do. You don't have to show up for the voluntary mini camp, but if you don't, we're going to make sure we make an example out of it. You know, it's like, and that's what it was. So I was given into it until I found out that organization is one of the biggest funders for abortion there is. I said, I ain't doing that no more and giving my money to that. I ain't supporting that. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, don't get me started in who you vote for and who you publicly support and the things that your candidate is responsible for. I'm not a Republican, I'm not an independent, and I'm not a Democrat. I'm a Christian. And my job, and all the Christians that stand up on their platforms and shout for their person and their candidate and they're passing laws and they got blood on their hands. Oh, they ain't going to say this on the radio. They'll say this in the interviews. Let's go forward now. Praise God. And so she's sowing. I said, you're not getting a return because you sow into bad ground. Start sowing into good ground. Why? I thought I could just do whatever I want. No, the Bible says as you purpose in your heart, but a farmer can sow in any land he wants, but he picks the right land. Yeah. A farmer can own a plot of land that has a basketball court on it, and a farmer can own a plot of land that has fertile ground on it, and he has a choice. He can pick which one he wants to sow into. His choice. But he's not going to be dumb. Yeah. I said, start sowing into the right things. Well, what are the right things? You want to know what the right things are? Here's what the good ground is in the Bible. It tells you. We see people in the Word of God sowing into their church. Why is church good ground? It's where your family's being fed and protected. It's where your kids are being taught the Word. It's where people are getting filled with the Holy Ghost. It's where people are getting healed. It's where people are getting set free. Does that mean all you're offering all the time is to go to church? No, but it's good ground. You know what else is good ground? Ministries and ministers. Galatians chapter 6 says, let him that is taught in the Word give unto those that teach him the Word. Say, are you trying to get money out of me? No, no, no. I'm trying to get money out of you. Just trying to tell you what good ground is. Amen. And I'm partaker of this. I sow into my pastor. I sow into Pastor Nancy. I sowed personally into Pastor Webb this week. Why? The Bible says ministers who are preaching the Word of God, they're good, fertile ground. Yeah. In fact, I feel so selfish at times when I sow into my pastor and sow into Pastor Nancy Dufresne and all these other ministers who I know are good ground because I know what's coming back to me. And I want to be Mr. Humble Pants, you know, and Mr. Just Giving to Give. But in the back of my mind, it's telling me, ooh, the return, ooh, the return, ooh, the return. But you know what a farmer does when they plant seed in a good fertile field? They don't go home and think, well, I'm probably not going to get anything. No, they're excited because they know that's going to produce. Amen. Amen. Church is a good place. Ministers that are preaching the Word of God is a good place to sow. Fellow Christians are good ground. Not all Christians. God's told me not to sow into some people's lives. Be led by the Holy Ghost. But fellow Christians. The poor is good ground. Say, the poor is good ground? Oh, there's lots of stuff in the Word about giving to the needy and to the poor. Yeah, that's good ground. Don't just pick an organization, don't know anything about it, and just think it's going to work for you. No, why? It's like seed. A farmer just doesn't cast seed. I'm almost done. Are you ready? Now, to close out this sermon here tonight, because we got to shut this down, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Now remember what Pastor Mike said about this corn seed. One of these little kernels will produce 1 to 2 of these. A farmer knows that. A farmer knows how much of this he needs to either sell sweet corn at his stand or for his animals, right? They know how much their animals are going to eat, how much they're gonna... So a farmer doesn't just take a bunch of seed and just ran. It's scientific. You don't have to wonder how much corn am I going to get. It's science, right? But we know the science behind it is one of these will lead to 1 or 2 of these, at least of these things, which is way more than this. So if a farmer wants just 1 or 2 of these, you know what a farmer's going to do? Just sow 1 or 2 of these things. We'll just sow a second one just to make sure. And they might get a little more than what they need. But if a farmer says, you know what? I got a whole barn full of animals. Or you know what? I got a stand and this supports our income. And boy, during the sweet corn selling time of year, we really get a lot of customers. And we know how many customers we had in 2018. And this is what we're planning on for 2019. So we got to sow this much corn. He's going to sow way more. Why? He wants and needs a bigger harvest in his life. You know what Christians do? They want and need a bigger harvest. Wah, wah, wah. Okay, you want to need a bigger harvest, that's great. But you're going to get to that bigger harvest, you're going to have to increase. The farmer can say, I want a big harvest, but I only want to sow 1 little seed. And everybody would say, you're a dumb farmer. You're a dumb farmer. No, I need a whole field full of corn. I better have a whole field's worth of corn seed to go out and dole it out. And then what's going to happen? The harvest is going to be ginormous. Amen. Look at what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. I'm almost done. This I say unto you. This I say unto you. You that are given money today. That's what he said that. He which soweth sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Why? It's like a seed. If a farmer takes this little bag and sows, this might be good for your garden. This amount might be good for your garden right behind your house and all the corn you're going to eat. But if a farmer has hundreds and hundreds of animals to feed or hundreds and hundreds of customers to support to bring in money for their income, they're not going to go out with this little bag and then expect at harvest time for the field to be lush with corn. Stupidity. And Christians rob God with the tithe and just tip him. And then when it hits the fan and I need the money that the harvest would supply, where's my harvest? Oh God, where are you in the time of need? No, there was seed time. Now this is what I want you to see here in verse 6. He said, he which sows sparingly, reaps sparingly, bountifully, reap bountifully. We know that. But in verse 10, he says, he that ministers seed to the sower, ministers bread for food, multiply your seed sown. Let me ask you. This turning into this was what? Multiplication. Now remember, he's likening your money to seed. Multiplication. You know what I got here now? A bag full of seed. A bag full of seed here. Okay? Because he likens your money to seed. Now, think about it now in terms of seed, because we all said we just sow one little seed and we're going to get one or two of these. But if we want to get lots of these, we got to sow a lot more of these. How many of you know we like lots of these? And we'll start with the ones. This is a seed. How many of you know? That's a seed. Where's my other little seed? This is a seed. This will produce. And so will this produce. Oh, it'll produce for you. This will produce for you. It'll even get you more than what this is. So this, you'll get more than this. But you'll get this measure of more of this. What if I add? Well, I just could add 2 corn kernels. What's going to happen? The harvest is going to go up. When I sow more corn seed, get more corn. When I sow more dollar bills, I get more dollar bills. Yeah. And what if you go into sowing into 5 realms? Well, then you start reaping on that level. And when you go into 10 realms, you start reaping on that. Why? It's more. Just the same way, you would not disagree with me, that if we sowed more corn seed, and Paul said, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly, sow bountifully, reap bountifully, and God will multiply it. Well, when you multiply by ones, it's one thing. When you multiply by twos, it's one thing. When you multiply by fives, it's a number. When you multiply by tens, it's a bigger number. When you multiply by 20s, it's a bigger number. When you multiply by 50s, I didn't have any 50s at home. I'd put it all in the bank. When you multiply by hundreds, guess what happens? The multiplication is bigger. And he said, I want to multiply, go to verse 10, multiply your seed sown. Your seed sown. He says, I can only multiply what you sow. If the farmer only sows this, I can multiply it, but it can only come back as this. But if you'll sow many corn seeds, it gives me much to multiply. Amen. What do you think he's saying to you about your money? Yeah. I was ironing one day. I do my own ironing. This is me ironing. And I was listening to Keith Moore, who was one of Brother Hagin's spiritual sons years ago and would sing on Rainbow Singers and Bands. And Keith Moore was talking. Keith Moore's a prosperity preacher. That guy knows how to get money. And he was preaching about seed time and harvest. And he said, you know, I heard a preacher preaching about seed time and harvest, kind of like I was listening to him preaching about seed time and harvest. And he said, and I heard the preacher say, I remember when I sowed my first $1,000 seed, it was the first time I ever walked into a $1,000 harvest. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. And he said, I heard that, and he was preaching on the principles of it, and like seed, and so it works the same way with seed. He said, so I decided to try it. Sowed my first $1,000. He said, wouldn't you know it? Well, old Pastor Mike's on the ironing board. I'm getting excited. I thought, you know what? Sowing ones, that's what you're going to reap. Sow in fives, that's what you're going to reap. Sow in tens, that's what you're going to reap. Sow in 20s, I thought, my goodness. So I decided to test the word. So I started upping my seed. And wouldn't you know, more of these came. Bagful. And I remember the first $1,000 offering I'd given. I remember it was such a stretch. It was such a step of faith, but I just kept my mind to the word. I sowed that seed, and wouldn't you know, what do you think happened? Amen. 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 Say, Pastor Mike, keep your mind on the word, because if you don't keep your mind on the word, you're going to think you're being manipulated and someone's trying to fleece you. I don't give a rip what you do. I want you to be to do the word because you'll be blessed. I'm just telling you what will work for you. Amen. He said, sow seed, God will multiply. Go ahead, keep sowing your little bit. Just go ahead. That's what God's going to work with. He'll multiply, but that's all you're going to get. Yeah. What if you actually... Now, for those people, don't get all mouthy with me and say, well, I don't have seed. Well, you could use your faith for some seed.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
You could be creative and get some seed. Yeah. Maybe sell something for some seed. Yeah, work a little bit extra for some more seed.
Yeah.
Why? Seed turns into harvest. It's worth it.
Amen.
Made a mess up here. Glory to God. You can close your Bibles, and I'm going to tell this story and be done. I was in California. And we were getting ready to take up a special offering. I don't need to go into details what it was. Don't feel at liberty to need to do that right now. But it was a special offering. And not in California, but we're going to take it up back home. A special offering that the church was going to sow into. And I had purpose in my heart to sow $1,000. Well, that would have been 1/20th of all the church's money. That's big, right? We're not sowing 1/20th of our income. I mean, that's a big seed. That was what I purposed in my heart. But the Holy Ghost spoke up on the inside of me and said, sow five into that. Five, I said, Lord, we're believing for a new building. That's what I said. We're believing for a new building. I can't get rid of that money. That's 1/4 of all the church's money. And the Lord said to me, that's how you're going to get into your new building.
Amen.
You say, really? Oh, we didn't have time to teach you all the times people had to sow their way out of a problem and got them into their blessing. That's the way you get out. Sow seed. And so he said, sow $5,000. Oh, Lord, I know that's you. I can't disobey you. I can't go to sleep at time if I don't do it. I got home, told the accountant, write the $5,000 check to such and such. Whoo, man, I'll tell you what, that was hard on the flesh.
Yeah.
And he spoke some things in my heart to do personally as well that made my eyeballs spin. When he gets involved, he's a little more generous than we are. And he'll tell you things, but you know what? He's not trying to get from you. After what you read tonight, man, if you've sown a big seed, you got seed in the ground, you ought to go out of here doing a happy dance because he's going to multiply it. That's what he's going to do. He's going to multiply it. He's faithful. He's not a liar. So I sold the $5,000, and wouldn't you know it, within a few months, check came in, unexpected check for $40,000.
Amen.
What's that, 8 times the amount? Right? Would that be $40,000, 8 times the amount of five? Math's right. That came in. Someone called me into their office, didn't even go to my church, handed me a check for $25,000 the next week. I think I figured out total that the Lord multiplied it by 12, that seed that I sowed. That money got us into our new building, and the harvest that I got from the seeds that I sowed in that offering got me into my home. I'm just telling you, it works. The intro to biblical prosperity is through the tithe and the offering. Can't get it any other way. Amen?
Yeah.
Want some corn? Got some corn in my ear? Father, we love you and praise you tonight. We're so blessed, so thankful. Come on and just worship him. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've given to us, all that you've blessed us with, Father. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness and your love, Father. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Father, we thank you for all that you've given to us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness and your love. Father, I know that this is hard on the flesh and hard on the mind, but Father, you are trying to get people into an increase and into a harvest. So Lord, I pray that people would start obeying you in the tithe. They don't even know what it's attached to. They don't even know the blessing it'll bring and the favor and the open doors and the help. Father, I pray that people would start bringing offerings. Oh, the harvest that you want to bring them into, Father. Now, Lord, as I look around this room, I know everybody in here is born again, but if by chance you're listening online and you've not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you, and I told you earlier in this message, he said, I'm the only way to heaven. A good person won't get you in. Church attendance won't get you in. Being kind doesn't get you in. Going through Jesus, it's simple. You just got to believe and receive. If you're listening online, you say, I don't know Jesus. I don't know that I go to heaven. It's simple. All you do is call on his name. You just say, Lord, I do believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. You thank him for saving you, and he'll do it. He'll save you. Send me an email. Give me a phone call. Let me know you prayed that. We'll get you hooked up in a Bible-teaching church where you can hear the word like this every single week and learn what to do. See, if you're not taught this, you don't know what to do. And when you don't do it, you can't do it. If a farmer never knew that you had to sow to get a harvest, they wouldn't sow. They wouldn't get a harvest. That's what the pricelessness of preaching the word does, is it gives people the knowledge to change their whole world. Let's just stand to our feet and rejoice here tonight and thank him. Father, we love you and glorify you and magnify you. We thank you we're going into more, not to be selfish, but for the purpose to be a bigger blessing. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. We'll see you Tuesday night. You're dismissed. What does it mean to be saved? Is it more than just a pathway? More than just a way to heaven? Am I supposed to take it?
Yes.
What does it mean to be healed?